Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Thursday, February 2nd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, the return of real interest rates. You and I are living through the most significant monetary experiment in our country's history. Beginning in 2010, for the first time ever, the U.S. Federal Reserve, the nation's central banker, elected to drop interest rates to essentially zero. The concept came from then-chairman of the Fed, Ben Bernanke. Like all Fed chairmen up until then, Jerome Powell being the lone exception, Bernanke is an academic. His area of expertise, the Great Depression of the 20s and 30s. During that depression, we fell into a period of deflation, a time when the price of everything fell, from stocks to real estate to manufactured goods. Prices continued to spiral down and down. Now, you might think that lower prices are a good thing. The problem arises when the price a store can sell its items don't meet their production costs. Stores and factories cannot operate at a loss. So as the Depression continued, thousands of businesses and shops simply closed their doors, with the result that millions were thrown out of work. Bernanke, the academic, spent much of his teaching and research focusing on how the central bank should react in modern America if a similar situation would arise. In his most famous speech before he was appointed Fed chairman in 2006, Bernanke proposed that should we get into a deflationary spiral, then the central bank should respond by flooding the financial systems with cash. They should throw cash at the market like out of a helicopter. Well, you can imagine, that created a real stir on Wall Street. Helicopter money became the meme on the street for weeks. Everyone was talking about how this crazy member of the Fed, and he was by then, was proposing helicopter money. Wall Street thought it was a joke. Little did we know that the joke was on us, as a year later, Ben Bernanke was nominated by George W. Bush to be the head of the Federal Reserve. And 2 years after that, he would put his most radical concepts all to work, namely zero interest rates. Now, ZIRP, or zero interest rate policy as it became known, was so off the wall that few expected it to last. This policy ran counter to some of the basic tenets of our financial systems. Namely, it entirely negated the idea that savers and investors ought to be compensated for placing their money in a savings account, money market fund, or other type of passive savings. When interest rates went to zero, savers were essentially painted out of the picture. In fact, the entire basis of corporate financing changed. Whereas before, corporate CEOs had to make a choice between equity and debt financing, and generally speaking, equity financing was considered the cheaper alternative because shareholders did not require compensation, while in debt financing, the corporation always had to pay interest. But when interest goes to zero, the cost of debt financing also goes to near zero. The result has been that corporate America has taken on debt as a principal method of capitalizing their companies. Now, real estate perhaps is the most leveraged of all investments, and it boomed. With 30-year mortgages below 3% until just a few months ago, real estate has appreciated like never before. And of course, with these low interest rates, they took away the pain from our exploding government debt, with U.S. Treasuries, even at the long end of maturities, quoted 2 years ago below 1.5%, suddenly the politicians in Washington could spend nearly as much as they want with little cost. The fact that our nation's leaders have exceeded all reasonable expectations in this regard is a disgrace. Now, yesterday's action by the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates by 0.25% to 4.75 finally brought interest rates above current inflation, thus creating a real interest rate. It's not the first time we've tried. In 2016, the Fed also tried raising interest rates, only to be driven back down by the pandemic, when once again interest rates were sent to zero. How will the Fed do this time? It's an open question. No one really knows. However, if you listen to most of the commentators yesterday, you heard the phrase terminal rate used a lot. By terminal rate, Wall Street means the last highest interest rate that the Fed will achieve in this interest rate cycle. And just a cursory look around the street tells us that many are predicting that the Fed is very close to halting its rate hikes. Over at the mortgage markets, the rate for a 30-year mortgages have already begun to head lower. The same thing in the U.S. Treasury markets. The 30-year Treasury bond also has a lower yield currently. These are both giant markets, and it's extremely rare for them to trade against the Fed in such a bold manner. I don't ever remember mortgages and long-end treasuries taking such a counter position to the Fed. This is a very big tell. Then there's the question of how the overall economy is performing. The Fed cannot afford to send this nation into recession by raising interest rates too far. The last four economic reports the Fed received before yesterday's interest rate decision showed that, first, consumer confidence is declining, home prices are declining, the Purchasing Managers Index is declining, and the number of job openings are increasing. Hardly the background of a strong and growing economy. And that's the value side for Thursday, February 2nd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.